God has called worshipers, and if you're not worshiping God, then you fall far short of what God has saved you and your purpose in life is. Part of your purpose, main part of purpose, is we are to be worshipers of God. There's a lot of reasons why a lot of us believe we get saved. Some believe we get saved to be saved from hell, and that's a wonderful benefit. Amen? I call that a wonderful Benny, a perk, to be saved from hell and saved to a beautiful place called heaven. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But we're saved for more than just that. We're saved for a purpose. And again, as I said, just said, our main purpose is to worship God. We need to come. That's why we talk to people and kind of tell people you need to come to church, because church is where we do corporate worship. It's not our only worship. You need to be worshiping God at home, too. Amen? Some of the best times I've had with God in worship has been in my truck or car going someplace, because I'm there, I'm a captive audience, it's me and God and just the highway. And I spend a lot of time with God in that. Sometimes you need to worship God at home. You turn the TV set off, go into a special little place that's you, just you and God, and spend time praying, meditating, reading God's Word, worshiping God. Now, there's a movie out right now called The War Room. Anybody seen it yet? The War Room? Oh, wow. Isn't that a good movie? Good movie. Saw it here this past week with my son, and it is a good movie. I highly recommend. I don't recommend a lot of movies. Very few movies do I recommend, but I do recommend that one. It's called War Room, and it's about a prayer closet, basically, that this elderly lady had, and she pushed out to people, and all the answered prayer and God moving through our war room. Amen? And so it emphasizes prayer, and it emphasizes worship. We need to be a people that worship God. So today we want to talk about balance in worship. Proper balance in worship. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 20, says this: "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of hope, who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." And here's our key verse, verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Let's pray together and we'll talk about this. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness and mercy. We pray, Father, that today you would bless the message. And should there be one here today that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that this would be the day they say yes. That this would be the day that they would receive Christ and understand who you are and what you've done in our life. Father, you died for our sins. You've died to set us free, and your only demand is our faith and trust in you. So I pray, Father, there's somebody who hadn't done that yet today, who has not placed their faith and trust in you and prayed and asked you into their life, that today would be that day. Father, bless everything we do today. We give you praise, honor, and glory. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Right across this, I wanted to share this with you. A man suffered a serious heart attack, and he had open bypass surgery. He awoke from surgery to find himself in the care of several nuns in a Catholic hospital, just where he ended up. He was getting well, getting better, recovering, and a nun asked him this question regards on how he was going to pay for his treatment, pay that hospital bill. She asked if he had health insurance, and he said no in a raspy voice, "No health insurance." The nun asked him if he had money in the bank. He said, "Nope, no money in the bank." The nun asked him, said, "Do you have a relative who could help you pay this bill?" He said, "I only have a spinster sister who's a nun." Well, the nun became very agitated at that point and announced loudly, "Nuns are not spinsters. Nuns are married to God." And the patient said, "Well, then send the bill to my brother-in-law." Taking on his feet. That has nothing to do with the sermon today, but I just wanted to share that with you and start things off a little bit light. Folks, let me just say this. Every since sin entered into the world, everything has been out of balance on this earth except in heaven, except with God. Verse 22 says that we just read, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." All of the world that you see, and even though there is a balance in nature, environmental balance out there, thank God, amen? If there wasn't, we'd all be doomed. Even though God has created that, there is still an imbalance in our world today. The world you see today, the planet that you see today is much different than it was before sin entered into the world. I believe that the pre-sin world that God created, that perfect world, was beyond imagination. When Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered into this planet, that all things changed. And now we have a very imbalanced world. We as humans were created in perfection, were we not? We were created. We did not know sin. But when sin entered into it, we as people became very imbalanced people. Folks, I don't know about you, but I struggle to find balance sometimes in my life. Don't you? Don't you struggle to find balance between work and worship and your church life and your family and your job? And we just struggle to find balance. Why is that? Because we're imperfect people. We're fallen people. If we're not for God in my life and Christ in my life, I don't know what I do. I don't know what people do without Christ. Well, there's a lot of imbalance. And they got to handle that imbalance on their own, do they not? There's even an imbalance in our worship sometimes. Prior to the fall, everything was in perfect balance. There weren't thorns. There weren't any carnivores. There weren't not any things that we see today. But since the fall of man, all of creation, the Bible says, groans. This imbalance is a problem, and it will be a problem until Jesus comes back and sets creation free. Matter of fact, the Bible says that all creation groans, and you know why it's groaning? Because it's waiting for the day that Jesus comes back and restores everything the way it's supposed to be. God is going to do that someday. That's what keeps me going. What keeps me going is that, no, one day I'm going to be with my Lord and my Savior in a recreated world, in a perfect world, where He Himself will rule and reign on this earth. Amen? And I look forward to that blessed day. Until that day comes, I need to do everything I can in my life to try to maintain some kind of Christian balance, knowing what I know from the Word of God. That's how we can achieve balance. As we learn about God, we learn about the mind of God, and we trust God and we grow as a Christian. One thing is getting saved. That's important. We need to get saved. Amen? We need to have God justify us from our sins, make us one of His children. But then beyond that point, we grow. Don't your children grow? Don't you see growth in your children? That little baby that was born begins to grow up and you see changes and they start doing things they've never done before because they've learned some things from you and they've learned some things from life in general. They develop their own little personalities and, oh man, some have strong personalities. Some have personalities that are not so strong, and they develop, and we grow. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. Not only is nature imbalanced, but so is our human nature, as we said. Sadly, this imbalance that we have has affected our churches today. What has been sometimes called a generational problem is really more a theological problem. Some, you know, they've been talking about generation gaps ever since I was a kid, and that's been quite a while ago. I want to thank you folks that were at my birthday yesterday. Turned 60 years old. I never thought I'd make it to here. But anyway, I did. And thank God for all the people who come. I have such a gracious church family. And I just thank you so much for being a part of that. But I've been hearing about the generation gap for years. And folks, there ought not to be any gap. Amen? We're all people. There's cultural gaps, and generations do change somewhat, and we know that. People are doing things differently today than when I was a kid, and people did things differently when I was a kid than my father when he was young. And so generations and cultures change, but folks, the problem I think we have in churches today is more of a theological problem that won't be resolved until all people come together in unity and love. Let me just say this, folks. We don't serve different faiths and beliefs and religion. If you're a Christian today, we have one faith, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So there's only one way to God. There's not multiple ways to God. There's one way to God, and it's a very easy way for us. It was hard for Christ. He was the one who died on the cross. He was the one who paid the penalty. But it was the blood atonement on the Christ on the cross through Christ that brings us to Christ Jesus. So if you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're part of the one faith and of the true faith. So you need to know that. But there's problems out there that exist, and if we're not careful, there can become an imbalance in our life and an imbalance in our life in the area of worship. I believe we need to come together to worship, but I believe even our worship needs to be balanced. And that's what we want to talk about today. First of all, let me give you six areas of balance in your life, and then we're going to pray. Six areas we need to achieve balance in the church and in our lives today. Number one, we must have a balance between God's transcendence and God's immanence. We must have a balance between God's transcendence and God's immanence. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to probably go through several verses of Scripture in the time we have together and talk about several things. And we want to make sure that we're clear on several things. So we're going to kind of bounce around the Bible. You might want to have your pen handy because I don't know that all these will be up on the screen. But if not, you can jot these verses down. We must have a balance between God's transcendence and God's immanence. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, first of all, let's read Psalms 147. Psalms 147, verse number 3, 4, and 5. You can jot that down. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to go kind of fast today, so you may not have time to be flipping through your Bible today, and that's okay. You can write them down, look them up later, make sure the preacher's right. Okay? I always tell people, don't just listen to me read the Bible. You go home and read the Bible for yourself, you know, because you never know what the guy behind the pulpit is going to teach you. And you want to make sure he's right. So you do that. Psalms 147, 3 says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Folks, this verse shows a balance between these two, the transcendency of God and the immanence of God. First of all, let me say what the word transcendence means. That's the attribute of God that declares His glory, omniscience, and His might. In other words, it's the transcendence of God are facts about God. Who is God? Well, verse number 4 we just read tells us the transcendent God. He telleth the number of the stars. He calls them by their names. You ever seen the stars in the sky? Try to number those if you can. The bottom line is you can't. Amen? We can't do that. Why is that? Because God is a God of great knowledge, of great power. He has all knowledge. All knowledge that there is in Him. Verse 5 says, Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That's the transcendency of God. So when we come together to worship, we worship the transcendency of God. Amen? We sing songs like, Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, amen, consider all the worlds thy hands have. What are we singing about? We're singing about the transcendency of God. And let me just say this, worship is more than just music. You ask the average person, what is worship to you? Define worship, and they're going to talk about music. And there's nothing wrong with that. Music is an integral part of worship. It moves our emotions, doesn't it? It stirs us. But worship is more than that. Worship is also your prayer life. Worship is also your meditation life. That's where you open the Bible, the Word of God, and you study and you pray, and God reveals things to you. Worship is more than, worship is coming and hearing the Word of God preached. Amen? All of this is a part of worship. That's what we do in this hour to an hour and 15 minutes or whatever we have on a Sunday morning, is we come together in what we call corporate worship to worship God. And we need to do that in order to grow. So there must be a balance between a transcendent God and an immanent God. Now, immanence, the word immanence means His gracious care for His people. That's a personal God. Okay? So there's a worship of who God is, but there's also a worship of what God does in your life. Amen? Verse number 3 talks about that. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. That's what God does, doesn't He? You ever had God do something special for you? I had to happen to me in the last 2 weeks. Many things. I've lost count of the blessings of God. If you were able to get up this morning and you had food in your cupboard and a car you could drive or get some, you know, someplace to get around, or a roof over your head that kept the rain off of you, you're blessed today. Amen? Some people think they're not blessed unless they're driving a brand new car or living in a brand new home with brand new carpet and all those kind of things. Well, those things are nice, folks, but let me just say this. God blesses all of us. And He blesses the spiritual part of your life, too. That part of you that hurts. When you cry out to Him, He's there. So we must worship the transcendent God and the immanent God. These two attributes, by the way, are not in conflict among each other. They need to work cohesively together in balance. The problem is, a lot of Christian people are very imbalanced in these two areas. There are some people who like to worship the transcendence of God and they get stuck there. God's an awesome God. He's a great God. He's a powerful God. And that's all fine. All those things are great. But they never get up close and personal with God in their worship. Amen? And then you have some that only like to deal with the immanence of God. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my healer. And all those things. And they forget about the transcendent God. And there becomes an imbalance. I believe, folks, we become balanced when we sing a song like Jesus Messiah. He became sin, we just sang it, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. That's talking about the transcendent God. That's what He's done for us. And then there's the immanent God, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, where we become linked up with God and who He is personally. And we see that in the hymns we sing. We sing that in the choruses that we sing. We see that in everyday life. I believe the younger generation keys and focuses on the immanent God. Why is that? Well, it's been explained to me is because a lot of them come from broken homes. Amen? Well, a lot of them don't have a mom or a dad. They weren't raised by a mom and dad. They don't even know where their mom and dad is. And so they come from a broken home where maybe they were transferred around. If you've been blessed by being raised in a home with a mom and a dad all your life and they stayed together for years and all those kind of things, you're really blessed in this country, amen? I mean, you are. But a lot of people out there have not. So they come from those broken homes. God bless you. Because the Bible says God is the father to the fatherless. And He's the husband to the widower. And so we need to understand that. So God loves us and cares for us. So that younger generation seems to, from the broken home, seems to relate more to the immanent God. He's my Father. He's my Savior. And the older generations, like my dad's generations, boy, they love to sing songs about God. Amen? Who He is. And folks, we got to bring them together because He's both. He's a transcendent God. He's a big God, but He's not watching us from a distance. He's an immanent God. He lives right here in my heart. Amen? So in order to have that balance, we've got to have both of those things in our life. The second thing, we must have balance between fearing God and delighting in God. Now, when I say fear God, I'm talking about the awesome respect of God. Okay? That's what we're dealing with. Psalms 2:11 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." One of the things my father told me, and I've shared this with our church before, is he taught his children the fear of God. And when I say the fear of God, I'm talking about the awesome respect of God. Now, fear can have that type of fear can have two connotations. If I'm out of fellowship with God, then I need to fear God. Amen? I mean, there is that fear part of God that if I'm not right with God, I fear God if I were to die in this world without Him. There's a fear. There's that kind of a fear. And that's a legitimate fear. But there's also a different kind of fear. When I got saved and God saved me, now I fear Him because I love Him. That's a respect, an awesome reverence for God. So there must be that balance between fearing God and delighting in God. And what I like to say when I say delighting in God, I'm just saying having fun with God. You ever have fun with God? I have fun with God all the time. It's fun to be a Christian. Some people, isn't being a Christian boring? You know, you can't do this, you can't do... Well, if that's all you ever think of God, it is, maybe. But let me tell you what, I believe God smiles and has fun with us. He enjoys. Don't you have fun with your children when you see them running around and playing and they're happy and you give them a present? They're screaming and hollering. They love that present you give them and you take them to their favorite restaurant, which is usually McDonald's, you know. You buy them a Happy Meal. That's why it says Happy Meal. It's supposed to make them happy. And they delight in you. God loves to do that with us too. Amen? He loves it when we have fun in church. And we have fun with God. Church and the people of God need to be fun people to be around. Let me tell you what, I've been around both types of churches. I'd rather be with the fun crowd. Amen? I'd rather be with those who delight in the Lord. So there needs to be that balance between the fear of God, a holy reverence for God, and then rejoicing and delighting in God. The third thing is we must have balance between God's holiness and God's love. God's holiness and God's love. It's easy for me to preach about the love of God. That's easy, isn't it? Most of us want to hear about the love of God. And I understand that because we're sinful creatures. We need His mercy and His grace. But there's also another part of God that we need not forget about, and that is the holiness of God. God is a loving God, but He's also a holiness. He's God of holiness. And He desires us to be holy. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You say, "Well, Pastor, we can never be totally holy." No, we can't be like God, but we can strive towards it. Just because I haven't achieved something yet does not mean I need to stop trying. Amen? I know a lot of people out there who are striving to be rich and make a lot of money. And simply because they haven't done it yet doesn't mean they ever stop doing it. Well, folks, we need to be that way with God. We need to love God, but we also need to understand the holiness of God. Sometimes we have an emphasis on the love of God to the exclusion of the holiness of God. A lot of pastors out there don't like to preach about the holiness of God and about sin and what we need to do to make things right. But folks, if you've been around this church long enough, you know we don't have a problem with that around here. We like to expose sin. There's no way that people are going to understand the love of God unless they understand the holiness of God and the need to be right with God in His holiness. Now, I can't live perfect. I can't live totally right in and of myself. I need Jesus. Amen? That's what we call justification. When God has saved us and Christ's blood covered our sins and saved me and cleansed me of my sins, He justified me. And if you're saved today, He's justified you. And He's made you just as if you've never sinned. He sees you as holy and righteous through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. I mean, I never mess up, or I'm not supposed to mess up. Well, we need to strive to be holy, and you're going to mess up. It's not if you're going to mess up. The bottom line is you're going to mess up in life. Does that mean God doesn't love me anymore? No. The blood of Christ covers all of our sins, past, present, and future. Aren't you glad? He's a God who loves us, and He loves it. Here's something else. He loves us unconditionally. I know you think you love your husband or your wife, or your husband or wife loves you, or significant other, as the case may be, loves you. And they do love you. I'm sure they love you with a human love. But most human love is conditional, isn't it? Well, I love him unless he cheats on me. Right? Then the claws come out, amen? Or I love him unless she does this and doesn't do what I like. I'll get me a new one. That's conditional love. Unconditional love loves us in spite of who we are. That's God's love. And I'm glad of that. But folks, He's also a holy God. We must delight in His hope. Tom Merton says it this way: the professed Christian who uses God's love as an excuse to sin and violate God's holiness is living on the doorstep of hell. I like that quote. Warren Wiersbe says it this way: there is no place in Christian worship for evangelical exhibitionists who want to impress us with their intimacy with God. So, folks, our private, intimate relationship with Him is one thing, but our public worship sometimes is something else. And we need to understand in all of our worship that we need to understand what the holiness of God is and the love of God and have the balance between the two. There's a fourth thing. We must have balance in music, our worship music, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms. You have your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19, gives us a mandate for public worship in music. It says this, and the reason I say this is because there have been so many battles with music throughout the years, not just currently. I mean, there is sometimes, and you know, well, I like this style of music, and I like that style of music, and that's always been here. We all have a certain style of music we like. Certainly I do. We all do. But issues in the church dealing with music go back hundreds of years, and it's not just current. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Three things. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Colossians 3:16 says this. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Three things. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the mandate, I believe, the biblical mandate that God tells us to have balance in our worship is we sing psalms, we sing hymns, and we sing spiritual songs. And the reason I say that is because a lot of churches like to get in a rut and only do one. And I don't care if it's hymns, which I was raised on the hymns, I love the hymns, or if it's just the spiritual songs, the modern day choruses, something, things like that, the immanent part of God. There's some churches that get stuck in that rut. Let me tell you what, the Bible teaches a balance, and then there's the Psalms, and the Psalm does a little bit of both. That's where we take the actual Psalms in the Bible, we put it to music. That's what the Jews did, by the way. That's why we have the Psalms. They sang Psalms to God. It was a part of their intimate worship. God expects His church to do that too. By the way, both of those passages was from the Apostle Paul from the New Testament. So he tells them, this is what we need to have. Folks, there's been issues of worship throughout the ages. Matter of fact, did we not talk about an issue of worship last week? We talked about Cain and Abel. Cain brought an insufficient sacrifice to God and worshiped God in an improper manner. That's what Cain did. His heart was not in it. It was the works of his hand, his labor, and not what God told him to do. Abel did the acceptable worship. Abel got accepted. Cain did not. So there's been issues of worship that goes back to early man. There's been an imbalance there. Do you know that Martin Luther, John, and Charles Wesley all had their share of critics in the area of music? They didn't like their style. And by the way, we sing their music sometimes every Sunday. A lot of the songs that we sing. It's been said by pastors before that the music department of the church has been called the battleground of the church. Isn't that the truth? Amen? And why is that? Because we all have our preferences. And most of our preferences are self-centered. Well, I love country and western, you know. Some will say, well, you know, I like country and western too. Some will say, well, I like southern gospel. Some will say, well, I like contemporary. And we've got three generations raised on rock and roll. So everybody's got a musical style and musical preference. And if they don't sing it the way I like it, I ain't going to be there. Well, folks, that's self-centeredness and that's selfish. And that's imbalanced. So we all need to come together on this issue. And this ought not to be... Do you know D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody lived over 100 years ago. That D.L. Moody was attacked. You know why? Because he used what they called the new music. And that was in the 1800s. D.L. Moody. So folks, there needs to be a balance. We must test the things in determining whether they're good or they're bad. There's three mandates we just said. Psalms. Psalms are inspired writings of the Psalms put to music. That's what Psalms are. Spiritual songs are hymns. Hymns are songs extolling the character and the works of God. Hymns tell us about God. If all you have are modern day songs and you don't have any hymns in there, even hymns that are put to new music today, by the way, some of the songs we sang today, Jesus Messiah is also a hymn. You know that? Jesus Messiah is a modern day hymn. And we just sang it. And it has a chorus in there, like a lot of our hymns do, that are spiritual songs. So hymns are basically songs about God, and then spiritual songs are songs sung to God. Hymns are songs about God. Spiritual songs are songs sung to God. That's where I sing from my heart. That's the immanent God. That's the personal God. Amen? The transcendent God are the psalms and the hymns, for the most part. The spiritual songs are the immanent God working in me. So there's that balance between, like we said earlier, transcendency of God and the immanent God. The personal God and the God of might and power. Let me give you a few examples. Copied some of these. Some songs that we sing that are psalms. The song that we've sung, we haven't sung in quite a while, called Hide Me in Your Holiness. It's a contemporary song, chorus, based upon Psalm 17:8. Hide me, Lord, in your holiness. Every sin I now confess. Praise to you, forgiving Lord. Hide me in your holiness. That's a psalm. Also, I will delight in the law of the Lord is a modern day contemporary. So we sang that. I will delight in the law of the Lord. I will meditate day and night. Then like a tree firmly planted, I'll be grounded in your word. That's the very first psalm. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We've sung that before in our church. And then there's hymns. Who can forget how great thou art? Amen. O Lord my God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I hear the rolling thunder. I see the stars, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. That's a song about the transcendent God. That's a hymn. Folks, there needs to be a balance between the two. And then, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, another hymn. By Martin Luther in 14, he was born in 1483. Here's the thing about the truth of God. It's timeless. Amen? A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. The transcendent God, hymns. And then we've got spiritual songs that are in our hymn. Matter of fact, the new hymn book has over 101 spiritual songs, choruses, modern day, contemporary choruses that we're singing. Songs like, Open Our Eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Amen? Isn't that a song to God? God, open my eyes. Open my ears and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. It's a song to God. Folks, we need to do both. We need to do all three. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Spiritual songs. Folks, I never figured out why there was a battle in our churches. I think what it is Satan tries to distract us. Amen? So they get Christians fighting about things that are stupid. Things that don't mean anything. Why is that? Because many of us are imbalanced and self-centered, and we're not God-focused and God-centered. And let me just say this, other people-centered too, amen? We need to consider what other people like too. If all you ever sing is what you like, your focus is on you. It's not on God, and it's not on your brother in Christ, because you don't care about him. All you care about is what you like. And that's where, I'm sad to say, most Christian people park today. Something else we want to talk about today. We want to talk about balance in another area of our life. Balance between the Holy Word and the Holy Spirit. John 4:24 deals with that also. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Folks, it is impossible to offer an acceptable worship apart from the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Both come together. I've heard some people say, well, I tell you what, there wasn't a lot of preaching today in church, but there's a lot of good music. You know what I want to sit back and say? Well, you've got an imbalanced worship service. Amen? Bible says, for God has chosen the foolishness of preaching the Word of God for people to be saved. I've asked this question many, many times before. How many of you have ever gotten saved from listening to a Christian hymn or a song? I've never had one hand go up yet. If you have, you come to me. I want to rejoice with you, okay? Because that's the first for me. But if I ask the question, how many of you got saved because you heard the message preached from a preacher or you read it in the Bible from the Holy Word of God and you got saved that way? Everybody's hand goes up then. Amen? For God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. So there's got to be a balance between the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, because it's the Spirit of God who helps us to understand the Word of God. Some people say, well, I don't understand the Bible when I read it. Folks, there's a lot of translations out there, a lot of commentaries. There's no excuse for that. If you need help, come see me. All right? Don't bear this alone. You come see me and we'll help you with that. But before you ever read the Word of God, let me encourage you to do something. Get on your knees and pray. Amen? And you ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal the Bible to you. I promise you He'll do it. He's done it for me all my life. And He'll do it for you too. It's got to be that balance. There was once an old woman one time was praying in the public worship service in front of everybody. She confessed all the sins of her husband sitting right next to her. Well, folks, I don't think that her prayer was born of the Spirit of God, because the Word tells us that love keeps no record of wrong. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13:5. And that's where you got to balance the Word of God with the Holy Spirit of God and bring them all together. Let me give you one more. We must have a balance in the corporate and the personal. 1 Corinthians 4, 14-26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, everyone hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath a, sayings and so forth, interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Folks, there's a lot of individualism in the church today, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. There was a lot of individualism in the Corinthian church. The problem with the church of Corinth, which was a church that had a lot of problems in the Bible, Paul talks about that. The reason why they had so many problems is everybody's doing their own thing. Nobody was coming together. When we come to church together, it's to come to church together. Amen? We call that corporate worship. We come and we pray together, we sing together, we worship together, we hear the Word of God together, we're as one. Amen? One person comes and they want to do their own thing, they've got their own set agenda, that's a very dangerous person to a church. We need to come edifying, the Bible says. That means everybody, that word edify means to build up. We are to build each other up. Hopefully when you hear me preaching, I help build you up. Amen? And I know you people help build me up. You encourage me tremendously. We need to encourage each other. Build each other up. Somebody's down, we pick them up. Do whatever we can to help build them up. So there must be that balance in corporate worship and also the personal worship. We should come to worship prepared and be willing to share what God has blessed us with. But we need to be careful not to allow our individual likes and dislikes to become more important than building up the whole body of Christ. Amen? Let me tell you this, and I've said this many times before. If you don't like the song we're singing now, hold tight. Yours is coming. Amen? Your song's coming. Just hang in there. Be patient. Well, I don't really care for this song. That's all right. I believe the more we mature in Christ, by the way, the more accepting we become of diversity. Do you understand and realize that God has made us all differently? Isn't that a no-brainer? I thank God that everybody is not like me. My wife really thanks God that everybody's not like me. And if you're honest with yourself, you're glad that not everybody's like you. Amen? We're all different. God loves diversity. God has created us different. You got your set of likes and dislikes. I got my set of likes and dislikes. But when we come together corporately, we are to be of one spirit and one mind. That's balance. There's private worship too, but there's corporate worship. Worship where we cry together, our Father, and not just my Father. Amen? The Lord's Prayer says what? Our Father, who art in heaven. He's my Father, but if you're saved today and a part of the family of God, He's your Father too. The So we all come together with that. Folks, unless you've got balance in your life, you're always going to struggle with the things of life. Ran across this, and I'll close with this. It says, you may have a fire extinguisher handy. You might want to have one handy, a fire extinguisher, when you eat horseradish made by a lady called Ellen Lombard of Fairmont, New York. Miss Ellen's horseradish comes from four varieties: regular hot, extra hot, triple X hot, and too doggone hot. That's her horseradish. One of the ingredients in her hottest horseradish used is a secret ingredient, some big name that I can't pronounce. He said, the spice is no longer a secret, however. He said, according to the Tribune, Chicago, on February 13th, 1995, Ellen accidentally spilled 1.5-quart bottle of the spice in her basement by accident. She plugged in the fan to try to air the room out, but the overwhelming vapor forced her out of the basement, out of the house. She called 911. But when the Fairmont firefighters came in, they were so overwhelmed, and they were wearing masks. So they called in none other than the Ontauga County Hazardous Materials Unit, HAZMAT. And they evidently were able to clean up that spill in the basement. The fire chief later explained to the media that the liquid spice is dangerous if inhaled in large amounts, but it's wonderful in horseradish. Even the finest spice, the author goes on to say, can be overwhelming when we get too much of it. Amen? In the same way, the doctrines and the disciplines of the Christian life must be kept in balance. In balance. Folks, we need to have balance in our life. Let me just say this today. If you don't have Jesus in your life, who's the perfect balancer, then you'll never have balance in your life. You'll always struggle in life. Now, I'm not saying getting saved and having Christ in your life means you'll never have another problem in the rest of your life. I'm not that dumb, and hopefully you're not that dumb to believe that. But I will tell you this, you will have a friend, a Savior, and a Father who sticks closer than a brother if you'll receive Him into your life today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You might say, Pastor, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to have this Jesus in my life? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Pastor, what do I believe? Believe what the Bible says about Jesus and what He said about Himself. Believe that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to Him but by Him. Believe that He died on the cross. That's what Jesus did. That was the pivotal point in human history. He died on the cross, shed His blood for you and for me. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that He gave His only begotten Son. You can take that word world out and put your name there, because He died for you. That He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish and have everlasting life. Believe that He died on the cross, shed His blood for you. And the big thing is that He rose from the dead for you and I. If you believe that today, then you believe everything you need to believe to become a child of God. But God wants something from you, and that's a response of belief. And that comes through prayer. That comes through prayer. And prayer is nothing more than talking to God. Just like you talk to your friends, your children, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, just like you talk to them, you talk to God. And that's called prayer. And you pray to God and ask Him to save you today. You can pray a prayer something like this, if this is you. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I believe in You. I believe You died for me, Lord. I believe You rose from the dead for me. And I believe today You're listening to my prayer. Please save me, Jesus. Make me one of Your children. Father, if You'll do that, I'll give You praise. I'll give You honor and I'll give You glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer and you asked Christ in your heart today and you really believe it, you've turned from your sinful life and you've turned to God. Folks, I'm not saying you've got to change to come to God. You let God do the changing. You can't change yourself. You let God do that. You just come to God by faith through His Son. And if you just pray that prayer and you ask Christ in your heart and life, the Bible says that the heavens rejoice today over one that comes to Christ. I'm going to ask us all to stand again with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's stand together as we pray. And as this song plays, this beautiful song, maybe you would come up here and say, Pastor Randy, I prayed that prayer. I don't embarrass people. Believe you me, I don't do that. I don't push people to do that. I don't embarrass people. But if you would like to do that, I would love to pray for you, rejoice with you, give you some information here in the future on how you can grow as a Christian. We'd love to have you come. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, bless now this invitation. As people respond to your message and your holy word, may you lead, guide, bless in their life. We commit this to you into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God has spoken to your heart, you pray today and you ask Jesus in your heart, you come, let us minister to you. Will you come, let me pray for you? Shake your hand. Maybe give you a hug. Welcome you to the family of God. Would you come? If you've never done that before. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm struggling with balance in my life. And I need some prayer. Maybe you want to come to an old-fashioned altar and just pray, or pray with me, or pray with one of our counselors. Pastor, I feel the need to join this church, to be baptized. Become part of the family of God by believer's baptism and show the world that I'm a child of God. If that's you, whatever your need is right now, the altars are open. You come as God leads you. You come. All God's people said, amen, amen. Folks, we're glad you've come today. We're going to close in a word of prayer and dismiss you to our Sunday school classes, which are meeting right now. Let me encourage you, tonight at 5:30 starts what we call potluck snacks, which we all come and share each other's snacks that people bring. But at 6 o'clock sharp, we start our Bible study tonight, growth group called AHA, A-H-A, stands for Awakening, Honesty, and Action. And it's that time in life when God comes to you and things change in your life. And we've been seeing this ongoing story. You say, well, I haven't seen the whole story. That's okay. You come tonight, you're still going to be blessed tonight. Amen? So you come tonight, 5:30, we do snacks together. If you want to come a little early, if not, come at 6 o'clock sharp and we'll study together about a one-hour study. Sometimes the people drift a little bit beyond that, and that's okay. But we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. And then, of course, Wednesday night is Bible study here at church also. We have different growth groups that meet, Bible studies groups, and we would love to have you come also and be a part of that. Amen? Well, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. Amen? In the days ahead, we do encourage each other as time goes on. Any other quick announcements that need to be made we might have forgotten? No? Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And we're going to ask for God to lead, guide, and bless. Brother Jerry, will you please bless us and close us in a word of prayer?